Hey, Rudy, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back to talk about the Joe Milley finale. And it was a shocker. As we will talk about the baffling decision that we watched. Steven cracked the Cala code somehow. Not Annie. Plus, also, Kurt leaves Caro high and dry and picks out Amanda as we say toodle pips to Joe Millionaire here with the woman who has seen it all. Here she is back for the last time here on Joe Millionaire coverage. It is Jenny Autumn. Jenny, how are you?
Rob, I'm not ready to say toodle pips, quite honestly. But
who was? What? That all of a sudden Martin has a catchphrase in the last episode?
I know.
We were all in on toodle pips.
That was, yeah, that became the big shocker of the episode.
What the hell?
I loved it. No, I will be honest up top. The 3/4 of this finale, I was like, man, we're just trudging along to the very, very predictable results here. And I will give Joe Milley this. They got me.
They had me.
And those last 15 minutes were thrilling.
Yes.
I was yelling. I was clapping.
Oh.
Not like applause, but like, you know, I was very animated about how things went.
I will say, it was a bit of a slog to get there. I was really just about ready to say, okay, this finale could have been a TikTok.
Yes.
It was a lot of looking back, a lot of like rites of passage of the people that aren't there thinking back. Remember the first day? Can you believe it? A lot of reflecting on the journey.
Yes.
And it wasn't all about the Lakeshore Manor and the final pick. It was about the friends we made along the way.
Of course. It was about the Joe Manses that we created. Mm-hmm. It was, a lot of these kinds of shows, the finale can be a lot like that, where it's just like dragging out the decision and like how we started and how far we've come and all of that stuff. So this was a little bit par for the course, but what I will say is I think that this show handled the suspense of the decision.
Yes.
A lot more like with a lot more fun and suspense than like The Bachelor would. You know, because when you have The Bachelor or The Bachelorette and you're down to the final two people, you have like, you know that the first person that shows up, they're getting dumped.
Yeah.
And I really, really loved how this got edited. And we'll get through it when we get to it. But I thought that, like, you know, for what could have been a completely boring finale, they really picked it up in the final, like, leg. And I was on the edge of my seat. Well, I was edging off my seat.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Be careful. So
be on the edge of my seat.
So when... We should get just talk about what happened as opposed to like a straight up recap, because we're not going to like make you wait 45 minutes to talk about the big reveal, you know, the top story at this hour.
Yes.
That you have Cala, who 2 episodes ago was asked, which guy are you more into? And she said, I got to think about it. I don't know. No one could crack the Cala code. No one knew. In fact, it was possible that she might have been eliminated the episode where we had a non-elimination. That's possible.
There were a lot of episodes where she could have been eliminated.
You were like, okay, is it that nobody understands the Cala code? Nobody can crack it. And she could have gone home somehow. She's gotten past Annie. Here's Cala in this episode.
It's really hard to process that I am in the top two for Steven right now.
Me too.
Yeah, exactly.
Very hard to process that.
I mean, Rob, last week we had this conversation about what we were expecting from the finale. And we said, who would have thought that, you know, Steven, the one that was like a little bit all over the place, a little bit like, you know, unpredictable, would be the person that we're going into the finale. He's absolutely picking Annie. That's the only person that he's like really spent significant time with and has like had a connection with since the beginning. And that Kurt is going to be the like big decision of, is it going to be Carolyn or Amanda? And like, what are we doing here? He's picking Callum. This is absolutely wild. Like it seemed so obvious and,
yeah.
No.
Yeah. I'm so confused. Jenny, okay, tell me. Do you think was this that Steven had second thoughts late in the game about it was Annie, and then Annie did something to turn him off? We saw in the episode that he talked about how it seemed like the problem with Annie was that it was like he was like looking in a mirror because they're pretty much the same exact person.
What was your favorite class throughout school?
I was really good at math.
Yep.
Yep.
What's your favorite type of dessert?
I love chocolate cake.
They both liked math. They both like chocolate cake.
Wow. These are
opposites attract. They're the same.
That's all it takes is your favorite dessert and your favorite elementary school subject.
Yeah,
like what?
That should be everybody's Hinge prompt.
Yeah, that's how you find your true match. Is in these very important questions.
Yeah, if you have the same and the same, that's like you're the same person, even though that she is from the city and he is from the country. Don't worry about that. We both like math. We're the same. That's it.
And you know, who wants to live with that? Who wants to be eating chocolate cake every day and doing times tables with their partner for the rest of their life? That doesn't sound fun.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was it. That was like the big turnoff. And we saw this with Amber, too. Steven is like on it. And then like just completely it's like, oh, wait, hold on. No, it's something like Amber was too serious. Jenny, I don't know, interrupted his date. That was it.
He was the golden coin. Yeah, no, I mean, he's like the king of
Whitney. You know, oh, wait, I'm into Whitney. Oh, she doesn't want to get married. All right, she's out.
Yeah, he really turns on a dime or like a golden coin or some sort of coin. It was really bizarre because I felt like the rhetoric about Annie for the whole season was like, we have such a great connection. Like we get along, we have a lot of similarities, but like our lives are very different. And it just was weird for it to be packaged as, oh, we're too similar. That was the problem. Mm-hmm. Like she's from New York. We live different lives. I live on a farm in Missouri. Like that part kind of got yada yada when I felt like it was such a big like theme. It was that like, oh, I don't know if our lives fit together. Like she's like a city girl, I'm a country boy. And then it's like all of a sudden the problem is that you're too alike. Like what?
I don't know. So do you feel like that Steven Jess at the last second made the switch, or do you feel like that it was the edit that was bait and switch on us?
I actually think that it is the edit.
Interesting.
The one thing I was going to ask you what you thought was, and I mean, we'll get to this in more detail, obviously, but the promise ring of it all, do you think that they knew all along? Like, do you think that they were maybe told late in the game, like, you don't have to get engaged to this person? It's more so like, who do you want to continue to pursue after the show?
Who was told like, that? Who was told that?
The men, maybe. And so the Joes. And so that maybe they're like, because they were given rings, so they had to have been told like what they're doing with these rings.
I don't know. That was so bizarre.
It was so bizarre.
You know, let's just put that off to the side, and I feel like we have a whole promise ring discussion.
Thinking, I'm thinking that maybe like Steven found out that it wasn't as big of a commitment as he maybe would have thought. And so he was like, Annie's maybe the safer bet, but I'm actually more intrigued by Calla. As we've heard, she's so mysterious.
The Calla code.
And he's like, I'm not getting engaged. I can go with the one that I'm like a little bit more like still getting to know, because I'm not getting married to this person necessarily. Which, like, you can break off an engagement anyway. It doesn't matter. Look at all the bachelor couples.
Right. It's not their ring. They didn't pay for it. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I wonder if, like, something about, like, the lower level of commitment made him be like, hey, I can go for the person that I'm maybe just a little bit more intrigued by.
Yeah. I don't know. Just spoiler alert for the real time. Okay. So, by way of social media, we do have updates on the couples.
Yes. I feel like we need to get in front of that because it plays a part in, I think, how we'll talk about things.
And so that we have some good news and we have some bad news.
Or good news or bad news, depending on how you feel about all of this.
One of these couples is still together. And one of them. Hold on, I got to get my soundboard myself. And one of them
is not.
Oh no.
Which one?
Don't ask.
No, we have to. Steven and Calla apparently still together. Still going strong.
Wow. I am still processing this because I could not believe that he picked her. Like, I was slack jawed. I was like, I could not pick my mouth off.
Jenny's literally like shaking.
I could not believe it. The fact that they are together, they're like moving in together.
Yeah.
Like, what? This is wild.
He cracked the code.
She was sitting in the back of a truck with Kurt like 3 days before this. Mm-hmm. I mean, mind you, she was breaking up with him, but like, only days before had, you know, made the choice to continue dating both of them when she had the opportunity to go all in on one of them.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah. It must have been just, I guess, once you run into that country music singer, whatever that guy's name was.
Easton Corbin. I'll never forget.
He's the closer.
Man, that was the most romantic date ever. You know, that's what
50
sold
Shades
her.
Of Hay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, on the other hand, the sad news. Yeah. The sad news here is that Kurt and Amanda, they are not together.
Wow. Did you see Amanda's tweet about the spoiling avocado?
Yes, I did see that. So that's the bad news. Can you explain the tweet?
So I don't have it right in front of me, but maybe I can pull it up. But basically, she posted a picture of like stages of an avocado as it's like browning and becoming rotten. And then was like, I'll spill all the tea on like reality.
So I actually did listen to reality.
Oh,
Steve. Friend of the pod. Yeah, it's already up. Friend of the pod, Reality Steve. Reality Steve and I have done a couple of podcasts together. Most recently, I talked with Steve at the end of Celebrity Big Brother. He's had a lot of interviews with the cast this season. He actually had an interview with Steven and Calla. And then an interview with Amanda. I listened to the part with Amanda. I'll go back and listen to Steven and Calla. But I just felt like that, you know, I wanted to hear the tea.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize it was out already.
It is out. You can check it out on the Reality Steve podcast. And so he's had a lot of interviews with different cast members over the course of the season. And I'd say the tea was not super hot.
I read that they broke up before the show even started airing.
Right.
Which you would think that if you're a man, so without knowing that, you're Amanda, you're thinking like, oh, she definitely broke up with him once she started watching how things played out and how he was with Carolyn.
So no, that
but they, no, that's
they,
not the
yeah,
case.
They were done. They were done before.
They're done already.
So just to give you the, and you, everybody should go listen to Reality Steve's interview with Amanda and hear for yourself. But they finished filming, I guess, in October. And then they ended up, she saw him like that they got together like one weekend, like in November. And then they got together for Thanksgiving. So they got together like twice in real life. And then ultimately that she says, and she implies, he seems like that he has some stuff that he still needs to work through. And he doesn't seem like he is ready for this type of commitment. She did not really get, you know, what Reality Steve tried to press a little bit. And she was like,
don't ask.
Yeah. She just made it seem like, okay, yeah, she's very mature and ready for a serious relationship. And he
is not.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Yeah, well, I could have seen that coming.
Yeah, she didn't really get, she like Amanda, I felt like kept it pretty classy, but the, you know, that's not what I'm looking for.
I'm yeah, I mean, that's less fun.
By the way,
but
also, if anybody wants to come on this podcast and spill ish. And spill the tea, Caro, are you out there,
girl?
Carolyn responded to our own David Bloomberg, right?
Yeah,
what did she say?
I believe that this was about
David Bloomberg took a moment away from trashing Enneagrams and Myers-Briggs on Twitter.
Oh, I've missed that.
Yes. What did he say?
So I believe he tweeted something about how it was messed up that he had, or she, I think she tweeted that it was messed up that Kurt had just been saying that he was like also falling in love with her. And then like a couple days later said that his heart belonged to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think David retweeted her and said that that was the thing that he thought was the most messed up. But what did she say to him? I can't remember now.
So Carolyn gave David Bloomberg the retweet. Carolyn Moore at Caro Steph. Mm-hmm. Now when we were calling her Caro, didn't she like, oh, it's so funny that people are calling me Caro. Did she change
because
her?
No one was calling her that on the show, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think that people in real life probably call her that.
All right. So, all right. I have to follow her because now we, in this house, we still stand.
I sauced her a follow. I'm doing that right now.
Okay. Carolyn Moore says, when he tells you he's falling in love with you, tambien. The day before.
Because she said it in Spanish.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the day after, his heart belongs to somebody else. Peace out, Lakeshore Manor. Hashtag, can I go now? That's what I said. And hashtag Joe Millionaire. And David Bloomberg said, agree with Carolyn. This was the part that made me feel rather icky. He didn't need to say those things. Well, I have to say, this was the part that made me feel icky.
I love your sauce.
Yeah, that was one of the parts that made me feel icky.
You didn't feel icky about the metaphor about them making guacamole?
Oh, yeah. This?
I compare our love to an avocado. You know, it was hard on the outside and it ripens over time. Now we're like soft and mushy and ready to make a delicious guacamole together.
I mean, it's like, given the avocado theme that they had, like, it was kind of a cute metaphor, but it was also like kind of disgusting.
Kind of gross. Yeah. This clip is called on my computer, grossavocado.mp3.
You got to keep that one.
That'll come
in handy someday.
Right.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like I feel like that the soft and hard part is like, not lining up. I don't know.
Do you think that has something to do with whether you're wearing jeans in the pool or not?
Perhaps. So David Bloomberg said that about Carolyn, that Kurt didn't need to say those things. And then David Bloomberg got a retweet from Carolyn. It's always in the retweets, the retweets and the likes.
Yes. And she's thrown out a couple other tweets where I think last night Kurt had, which I think this is kind of like dirty, but maybe he can do this now because he's not with either of them. He tweeted like, my heart says at Caro Steph and my head says like at Amanda or whatever her, like, I don't, can't remember her handle right now. And then, so she retweeted that and said, how did that work out for you?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, cold blooded. Like that was like, got him. Yeah. It didn't work out very well, but also like, okay, obviously we know Amanda dumped, or they broke up before the show even aired. But like, if you imagine they were still together and you're Amanda and you watch this show play out, and as he's breaking up with Carolyn, he's like, you are the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. And tonight, like more so than ever or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then, so one, that's a messed up thing to say to the girl that you are not choosing.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, imagine being Amanda and then seeing that. And then on top of that, when he says, my heart says, you know, Carolyn, and my head says Amanda, isn't the whole rhetoric like about love? It's like, oh, follow your heart. Like, what does your heart say? So it's like that was the point where I was like, oh, he's making a bad choice, I think, mm-hmm. but he's going with what he believes is his heart, saying to pick Carolyn. Like, imagine being Amanda being like, oh, I was the head pick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, thanks.
Yeah. I do wonder how things changed on the revelation, because this right. was the, like, reverse Joe Millionaire situation for Kurt. Now, Kurt, I think, is, you know, is well off. He seems successful, but, you know, one of these guys is a multimillionaire, and the other
is not.
Did exactly. did Kurt make the Jane millionaire pick?
Well, I mean, this is what kind of what we're talking about. It's like, how does he become Joe Millionaire or actual millionaire?
Right.
Is picking the woman he knows literally has millions of dollars to her name. I mean, he spent this whole time, you know, trying to learn from Steven on like how to be a better businessman and how to like grow his empire mm-hmm. and stuff. Like, well, that's going to be a lot easier if I am shacked up with the woman that's got a lot of capital. So
yeah, to invest.
Yeah, exactly.
And invest in things. So
yeah, so he might, maybe that's why it was the head decision. He was just doing what he thought was a financially sound decision for himself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he actually at one point was really torn between his head, his heart, and something else.
Yes. What was it? It was the. His eye, or love is blind, yeah, this, or like penis is blind.
My family is not helping right now.
Yeah, my head one way, my heart the other, my one place.
We never found out who the third person was.
Penis is blind.
Penis is blind. Do you think that was Whitney? Do you think, like,
maybe,
or Calla, maybe, which is also so crazy,
awkward, yeah,
like, because like. You can tell that both of the guys were just like, they thought Calla was so hot and they were like turned on by the mystery of her. Like just the way that they talked about her, they were like, I can't figure her out, but like, oh, damn, she's hot. Yeah. So I really, you know, we see him go back to this rhetoric of head and heart. Okay. So Amanda was the head and Carolyn was the heart. Who was the dick? I guess him.
Like, depends if you, if you ask, I guess it's probably unanimously, yeah, except for Steven, yeah. You know, yeah, but Carol, Amanda, David Bloomberg. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody.
All of Joe Millionaire Twitter.
Joe Millionaire Twitter. Yeah.
Yeah.
did Kurt come away as, the ultimate unlikable villain of the whole thing?
I mean, I think more so than Steven, because I think that, you know,
right.
Although I think that the Steven pick was more of a blindside mm-hmm. to me. I think that just the way that Kurt conducted himself with the two women, I think that that makes him to be more of like the villain.
Well, Jenny, you know how I feel. Like, Kurt served his purpose. Like, why does he even get to pick anybody? He's not the real Joe Millionaire. He's just a guy.
Yeah, like, should he have just been along for the ride where it's like, if you don't get picked by Joe Millionaire.
Yeah, you know what? The woman should have had the final pick. Yeah, it was backwards. It was like the woman should have the final pick at the end. And then if she picked him, he gets all of Steven's money.
Oh, how is Steven going to agree to that? Where he's losing money if he doesn't get picked.
He either is going to find the girl of his dreams or lose all his money.
I have to think that Steven, who a young man who has made this.
Give him a prize. Give him $1 million.
Another helicopter.
Give him for Kurt. Steven gets no prize.
Okay.
The prize
so
is love.
Taking the money.
The prize
away
is love for
Steven's
Steven.
Bank account.
Like, Kurt shouldn't be like, on the show looking for love also. Like, he should be there with looking for money. Steven has money. He needs love. Kurt's like, I'll find love. I need the money.
Yeah, maybe that, like, because I really did love the dynamic of there being like, you know, one is a millionaire and one is not. But yeah, again, that kind of became a problem because I just don't think that the story is compelling as much when it's like, I have so much money, but I just want to find someone that appreciates me for me. I don't think that is like, as exciting as like this person thinks that I have money and they find out I don't. And if they truly fell in love with me, that won't matter. Which was the original concept of Joe Millionaire. So I do think that they were onto something with having both and the different storylines, but there needed to be like something they couldn't be treated equally, mm-hmm. you know, because their vested interests aren't really the same, right? Like,
yeah. I think that was the problem. That was the problem. Too chummy.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, I've been on, as much as I loved the Joe-mance, I think that for the betterment of the entertainment of the show, I think that them being like together and making decisions together and all of that impacted the drama of the show because mm-hmm. they just kind of like divided and conquered. And I thought that we lost a lot of potential for drama with them going after the same women, when they are like putting each other first, really.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I would love to see this redone and it maybe just needs a little bit of tweaking.
Some tweaking for sure.
Yeah.
I want to go back to Carolyn, and her not getting picked. Cause I feel like that it was anticlimactic, that we, you know, Carolyn's like, can I go now? I wanted to see more.
Yeah, well, this is what we were saying last week when we were talking about how things could go. I said, you know what? We deserve a Carolyn blow up when he picks Amanda and not her. This is what we've watched however many weeks of the show. We want to see Carolyn get mad. And
big
as
mad.
Much as this was the outcome I was rooting for, it did kind of flop in terms of like, you know, she just like said, can I go now? She threw the flower in the like hallway somewhere onto like a counter. And then we get Martin seeing her into the limo or whatever and said, mm-hmm. you'll be very missed at the manor.
Yeah, I think he was just trying to get her to talk more. See, this is why I guess like The Bachelor has like after the final rose or the women tell all, like they have these things where we get what we want and we're not getting that. We'll host it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do it. Sure.
We'll do it.
Sure.
I absolutely agree. I think that we needed something like this because I am still lacking closure on some things. I had to read TMZ mm-hmm. articles and stuff to try and piece together.
You
what's
did. You read
going
TMZ
on.
Articles.
Yeah. Well, I had to fill myself in before people were tweeting about it.
Yeah.
I have to.
What was on TMZ?
Mel got served on Twitter, who sent me a couple links because she immediately found out the relationship status of the couple. So, yeah, there was like a TMZ article about Kurt and Amanda no longer being together. And then I think it was a Hollywood Life article about Steven and Calla mm-hmm. moving in together and yeah. all of that stuff.
Okay.
And so, but yeah, like I want to see these people. I don't want to see just tweets. Mm-hmm. I want to see them like in the same room or the same virtual room
mm-hmm.
talking it out.
Yeah.
I want a whole tea party, you know, like,
oh, yes. Well, yeah, we don't, you know, just, yeah, spill the tea. We don't
multiple,
need the tea party.
Yeah. Yeah. Not that kind of tea
yeah.
party.
Yeah. But yeah, I want to hear what's going on.
Yeah. Also, okay, so the one thing I did read in one of these articles is that so Stephen and Cal are still together,
mm-hmm.
and they still talk to and see Kurt all the time, and in fact, they're going to visit Kurt this weekend. Don't you feel like that's like a weird third wheel?
Who's going situation? To visit Kurt this weekend?
Stephen and Calla.
Okay, that Calla is going to be the third wheel. Or you think that it's gonna be weird because that Kurt hooked up with Steven's promise like, ring girlfriend on multiple yeah. occasions.
And like the three of them are just like, maybe it's not weird, I don't know. But yeah. like
honestly, you know who the third wheel is gonna be?
It's Calla.
Yeah.
I mean,
like Calla, I hate to break it to you. Yeah. I think Steven and Kurt have more chemistry.
That ended up being the strongest relationship of the show.
Was, yeah. I mean, it had multiple times it came up in the episode about how, you know, that what, you know, these two guys.
Here we are at the end of Joe Millionaire. I can tell you it worked. I've got the woman and the man of my dreams.
I mean, like, that's a 2-for-1 deal.
Mm-hmm.
You probably didn't go into this expecting both. Mm-hmm. So he really
Steven
won
cleaned
here.
Up. He's the big winner.
Yeah. He's got the money. He's got the girl. He's got the guy. Like, he stays winning.
Yeah. How about poor Annie?
Yeah.
Poor Annie.
She said that she thought that at any point he could say that he was just kidding. And I was like, me too.
Right? This is what Annie said.
I was almost waiting for him to say that he was just kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe it.
It was wild. I exclaimed, wow. And Phil was in the other room and he was like, what is going on? I'm mm-hmm. like, I cannot believe it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I really just thought that the, you know, the clips of the sound bites of Steven being like, oh, are we too similar? Like, is that really what I want? Was just like trying to add a little bit of suspense because it just seemed like such an obvious foregone conclusion that he was going to pick Annie. So like they really got me. Like
they got us. They got us. Annie has tweeted.
They got her.
Thank you for all the love and support. Heart emoji. For all those who are asking, I'm doing great. Everything ended up exactly the way it was supposed to, and I couldn't be happier.
I also saw she tweeted like, oh, I'm so glad that I can be publicly single now, like my DMs are
ooh,
open.
DMs are open.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So who do you think, like, okay, here's the thing. Like, are the Joe Millionaire people like big enough names in the like reality TV influencer world now that like we're going to see you know, because you know how like so, like these people from these reality shows, like there ends up being like they, you know, so-and-so like from Love Island is dating like this person from Too Hot to Handle. And like, you know, like this person from Survivor is dating someone from Big Brother or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, do you think that that Joe Millionaire is big enough that we're going to see like Annie or Carolyn, you know, dating like Brett from like BB20 or something like that?
I don't know.
Dating Tana Mongo or whatever.
I don't think so. So I think that the Fox reality people, I think, are in a little bit of a tight spot. It's like they're almost in like a different league where, yeah. you know, I feel like that the CBS reality people are sort of, and then there's even overlap into the people from the challenge. But mm-hmm. I feel like that there is other than like all the other Fox reality shows are either like singing shows or like 100 different versions of like MasterChef Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
So but it's almost like
that
there's...
Do you not think that these people end up at the same event somehow?
What like, event? What event are they going to be at? Like Hearts of Reality? I don't know. Yeah. Where are they all going to be?
The great hookup spot.
So again, I don't know. Like maybe like do some of them get like sort of like into the bachelor, bachelorette world, which is also kind of like its own thing. And maybe they have sort of like get togethers. But I just feel like that from the Fox world, like it's not like I don't see these people like being invited to be on the challenge or mm-hmm. they're not going to be invited to go play in Bachelor in Paradise or anything like that. So I think it's tough for them.
Well, I mean, they could be invited to be on like the CBS version of the challenge because like, aren't there like a bunch of like Love Island people on and like they don't even have rights to
Love
the show
Island
anymore.
Was on CBS at the point that they were casting
the show. Yeah.
Right. At the point that they were the whole casting for the show, they Love Island was on CBS and they lost the rights to it.
Maybe they're not that concerned about it. They're like, how many followers do you have? Well,
yeah. I think it'll like, I don't know how much crossover. I mean, what they should do is like come on this podcast and then put their name out there.
That's the crossover,
right? Once you have that RHAP bump, mm-hmm. The world is your oyster.
The DMs get the bump.
Mm-hmm. Your DMs, well. Yeah, certainly. Yeah, I mean, certainly. Like, ask some of the people that have been on.
Yeah,
yeah. So
that's what everyone says.
Yeah. So especially if you have a good story.
Yeah. And I feel like there has to be some.
There has to be something good, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
And I want those stories told.
So, Jenny,
selfishly,
I did feel like this finale, we got to have four different dates across. Do you want to just recap these dates real quick?
Yes. So, Martin is going to confirm that Amber and Whitney were eliminated. These are the final four. And then, so I guess they were doing like day. It was all on the same day date and night date.
Yes. The day dates were better than the night dates, right?
Well, the night dates were just dinner and like they had to cook their own dinner.
Yeah.
Which I was like, they're really not. I mean, I don't know. I think it would be a lot nicer to like feed them. But I guess the whole like, oh, it's so romantic to cook together. And that was like really the storyline that we were sold here. Mm-hmm. I will say that when I first heard, so I take notes, obviously.
Of course.
I take my job as a Joe Millionaire journalist very seriously. Yes. And I originally
on the Mount Rushmore of Joe Millionaire journalists.
Yes. and I originally wrote down that Carolyn was going to play chess.
Yes.
Because it was tennis, but I heard Martin say what I thought was chess, and I was like, okay. what a sexy date.
This is very Yeah. I mean, I think that Jenny, I think we literally saw some chess flirting going on Big Brother Canada this past week when Gino was trying to be seduced by Stephanie.
Yeah. Well, do you think that
she said she was going to eat his chess pieces?
Some sort of pieces.
Mm-hmm.
So
can be very sensual.
Well, that's what I'm saying is chess a like sexual tension activity?
That has not been my experience.
Are you maybe just not like you're not playing?
I mean, I'm not like again. I didn't watch The Queen's Gambit. Maybe that's what is going on over there.
Yeah. Do you think The Queen's Gambit made chess sexy again?
Perhaps.
Anyway, the storyline is that there was no chess.
They play tennis.
But I thought that there was going to be chess, and I was like, what a weird date. Yeah. What a weird final date. But also, tennis is a weird final date, too.
It is a weird date, for sure. I wasn't sure if they even knew how to play tennis. It seemed like that the ball was going back pretty good. Also, I thought that this was kind of gross when Kurt said,
I do like getting sweaty with my women.
Ugh.
Why'd you have to say that?
Kurt, it's 8:00 on Fox. Come on. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. Like, I was shocked the moment they came out in their outfits. And I was like, this is not chess. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, and then it took me a moment to process, okay, tennis is not any better, really. Like, this
not
is
much
not,
better. Yeah.
It's not sexy. I'm sorry. Is tennis sexy? I'm going to upset somebody here.
Yeah. Well, I think that there are, you know, the tennis uniform, I think, is probably more attractive than the chess uniform.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Sometimes, like, the grunting in tennis is, like, really sexual.
Animalistic.
Sounding.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So I think there's more cute outfits involved in tennis.
Yeah, the little skirt. And, like, you know, Kurt had, like, the short shorts showing off mm-hmm. his man thighs. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so,
yeah.
And they were getting sweaty.
So, yeah, they got sweaty. But then the nighttime dates with Calla and with Amanda were like, okay, now you're going to cook dinner. Like, well, why do we have a butler?
Yeah. So does a butler cook? Like, is that part of their job description?
It depends on how fancy your house is. Because I think if you have a butler, you might also have a cook. But I think the butler would give the cook your order.
Okay, so the butler also doubles as like a waiter or server.
Yeah, a butler I think is also like a waiter, but I don't think the butler necessarily cooks.
Okay, I'm still just trying to figure out the the rich people servants like jobs.
But I do feel like this episode, Jenny, featured a real severe lack of Martin the butler.
I know.
Was wasted down the stretch.
Again, the star of this show.
Yeah.
I did not get enough of him. I wanted him to be in the kitchen, like, helping them cook. Like,
that would be great.
Yeah.
I think
because be awesome. I don't think that it would have impeded on the romance, like, any more than the activities were. Like,
well, for Steven and Calla, they were just completely S-faced.
Oh my God. It was incredible.
They were so drunk.
Like, they were so drunk. Like, all my notes are like, they are wasted. They want to eat waffles. Like,
but Steven is like, yeah, so I'm just looking for somebody who's going to be fun.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe that's what it came down to. It was just like that last night. Calla got completely, as you say in your country, S-faced.
Yeah, as they say in my country, S-faced. Yeah. I mean, Steven, it really came down to was that all the way through, who was going to be fun and then who was going to instantly want to get married and have kids?
Which, like, okay, again, it's
which ironically
like,
makes you not be able to drink.
Well, I mean, I was going to kind of say, like, it seems like, you know, Steven and his family like to party a little bit.
They
as you saw.
Like to party.
Yeah. They had like the beer pong table. There was like all sorts of stuff going on at the McBee farm. And we saw, you know, looks like Steven likes to have a couple. And he, you know, he loved how fun Brianna was when she was like neck deep in White Claws. And so everything tells me that this guy like wants a girl that can party, but then he also wants like her to be like pregnant immediately and like become
multitudes.
Like a housewife. And it's like, sorry, you're going to lose your party buddy when she's immediately pregnant. And like,
that's
then
where
going
Kurt
to have
moves back in. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I just don't know if he's figured out how that actually works.
Mm-hmm. Kurt is going to become Steven's butler.
That's what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah. So they're partying. They made some sort of like fish, which came out bad. Like I couldn't even figure out what they were making.
No, I thought, okay. So I thought they were making spaghetti.
Yeah.
Because they were like, what's your, okay, so Steven, first of all, said, oh, she's going to come over and we're going to make one of my favorite dishes. And then he asks her, so he said they're going to make one of his favorite recipes. And then he asks her, like, what does she like to make? And then she said spaghetti.
I thought he was going to Lady and the Tramper.
Well, I mean, we've seen
that's
this
his
move before.
That's his move, right?
Yeah, I don't understand why they didn't make spaghetti. I like this fish and broccoli was his favorite
They do love like broccoli meal? Over there. And mashed potatoes.
When
they
made,
yeah, and that comes with mashed potatoes and
also,
margarita.
What was with the waffles?
I don't know.
They also made waffles. There was like waffles with like whipped cream sitting there. I was like so confused about what this meal was.
It seems like they eat a lot of waffles there. I don't know if they have like some sort of like Belgian waffle maker or like waffles on demand. I don't really understand where the waffles are coming.
Waffles on demand.
I mean, Steven also really waffled on his pick. So I don't know if that was the maybe foreshadowing.
The But they're like eating this disgusting looking fish with like, it looked bland. It did not look seasoned. There was not a speck of salt or pepper even on this fish. It looked undercooked. And I don't know, it looked like maybe broccoli and apparently it was disgusting. And they're like, should we just eat the waffles? And I was like, why did you yada yada the waffles that are just sitting on like the table? Where did the waffles come from?
I mean, waffles don't really go with a margarita either, but,
no,
they were just hammered.
Yeah,
they're hammered.
But I think that at that point, like, okay, you're hammered. What do you want to eat? Fish and broccoli and mashed potatoes or a waffle? Like, you're picking the waffle.
It makes sense. You're making a lot of sense. Okay, what about then Kurt and Amanda's pizza date?
They're going to make pizza pies, as Kurt said. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Make pizza pies.
Yeah.
And, I think that that's a little bit more of like a fun making pizza, like homemade pizza as like a thing you make. I feel like is a little bit more of like a process, and I think that it was probably more fun as an activity than like whatever weird fish
cooking
that
a fish
got made.
Right
yeah
right
like, well nothing says romance than like more than the smell of cooking fish,
cooking fish
like,
indoors right
yeah
right that Kurt and Amanda, they got along so well making the pizza, where Amanda even said,
I love your sauce
do you So here's, I mean, this is a terrible segue, but what I thought was very strange about these dates is like they're the final date and there's no fantasy suite.
Yes.
And I just feel like that is like the cornerstone of these shows where you're supposed to choose somebody at the end. And it's like, you mean to tell me that these men are choosing who they want to make a commitment to, and they haven't even, you know, tried each other's sauce.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is a little odd.
I mean, I said that I think that there was some sort of hanky-panky that happened in one of the cars
with
Kurt and Carolyn.
Yeah.
But... Well, again, I just thought that it's weird that like these last dates, which you would expect to be like the most romantic, like the biggest drama, were like they were like first dates.
Right. Well, it was because that they had two guys and they still had four women on the show, and they had to like, I think they were running out of days and they had to do two dates still in a day. We didn't have the chance to give anybody an overnight date.
And you know what? This wouldn't have happened if they didn't have that stupid non-elimination week where they just ended up eliminating two people like off schedule anyway. Like they could have, I bet you if they just eliminated people when they were properly supposed to, they probably could have done proper like one date per day thing at the end. But yeah, there's something with the filming schedule seemed to impact it, because I just think that like making pizza and then going home after it, like that's your final date before you decide whether you want to like someone a promise.
That's right. That's right.
Going paddleboarding.
Yeah, I mean, this whole thing sounds like a Mad Lib. Yeah.
It's like entering like whatever random activity.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just don't get it. There's nothing sexy about playing tennis. You're not even near the person. You're on opposite ends of a freaking, what is that, court?
Well, I will say the one thing that they didn't mention is that the thing that tennis and dating both have in common is that in both things, you end up in love.
Oh,
and nobody said that.
Missed opportunities with confessionals here. Like, and instead we got Kurt's gross line about liking to get sweaty with women.
Yeah, yeah.
It was right there, Kurt.
It was right there. It was right there. Okay. So Martin is going to let the guys know, all right, it's decision day, and
I shall see you soon. Toodlepips.
The beginning and end of Toodlepips, like in one episode, I was not prepared for
this.
Did
Martin just come up with Toodlepips on the last day?
Yeah, he was like, oh, I got to use this. Mm-hmm. This is great. I haven't brought this one out yet. Like, I can't believe we didn't get
as they say
bit.
In my country,
Toodlepips.
Oh my gosh.
Wow. Yeah.
What do you think, like, is okay? So Toodlepips is goodbye. Like, what do you think the opposite of Toodlepips is? That's like British slang for hello.
Yeah. I don't know. I've heard Toodaloo. I've never heard of Toodlepips.
Toodlepips, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I just saw something that said you're having a giraffe.
You're having a giraffe?
Yeah.
That's slang?
That? You're having a giraffe, a starter guide to UK slang. You're having a giraffe means you're having a laugh.
Yes, okay. It rhymes. It rhymes.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. We have to ask Jack Fox what those things mean.
Yeah, we need Jack Fox to give us the lowdown on the opposite of Toodlepips.
Yeah, yes. Okay. So the guys are just talking about how this whole process, they're reflecting about what it was like. They dated all of these women to try to find things out. And Steven sits down and talks with Kurt.
I mean, I think it was it Albert Einstein that said, I did not have 10,000 failures. I simply found 10,000 ways that did not work, in referencing to creating a light bulb.
Yes. When Albert Einstein created the first light bulb.
Yeah. Well known for that task, mm-hmm. as we all know, as we all have learned.
We will see then Kurt does correct him. Do you think a producer had to say, like, hey, Kurt, could you give Steven the correction?
Yeah, because that's way funnier. You know what I mean? It's like, Kurt would have had no idea. Do you need to know that to, I don't know, like in his job? Well, maybe he knows a little bit more about light bulbs than.
Do they teach you like in construction school that like who invented the light bulb?
Yeah, that's what you need to know, of course.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Also, this whole like, I don't know if this is exactly when they filmed this confessional, but the next day after the dates, they are hungover.
Yeah.
Both of them. And it's no Makes wonder sense. Because we saw Steven and Calla with those margaritas. And also Kurt and Amanda were like drinking like giant glasses of red wine
mm-hmm.
when they were making the pizza.
Yeah.
And they were like making it a lot. So I think they both got a little sauced.
Yeah. Love it. Love the sauce.
Yeah. And like, this is the day that they have to make the decision. Do you think that this maybe impacted the decision? They were feeling a little hazy from the night before.
It's certainly possible, but I don't know if they would make that big of a decision because they were like under the influence.
Yeah, I love the idea of they didn't have it figured out before that day. They literally just decided on that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's a choice.
What do you think makes it like a better drunk, tequila drunk or wine drunk? Like, what do you think was like the better situation?
It's different. I think that the tequila, I think, is a wilder date.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You end up on the counter eating waffles.
Right. I think had Annie mm-hmm. gotten the tequila date, maybe she would have been the person that Kurt picked or the Steven picked.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like. Yeah, that could have been the thing. Yeah, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just trying to think of like what's going to create the better romance. I feel like drinking like those giant glasses of like red wine, you'd just be really full.
Yeah,
and like, I feel like that's not sexy.
Yeah, get a little like kind of sleepy maybe.
Yeah, you're like sleepy and like kind of like bloated and hot. You're like,
Yeah.
I don't know.
All right, well, but look that Amanda got picked.
Yeah.
So,
well, yeah, because still the pizza making and red wine was way more romantic than tennis. Daytime tennis.
With no alcohol.
At least if they played chess, they would have been closer. They would have been like a couple inches away from each other as opposed to feet.
Yeah, I mean, you're staring in each other's eyes, maybe.
Yeah, the intensity of like trying to figure out what the next person's going to do.
Jenny,
like,
is this maybe Friday night, you and Phil?
We did get a chessboard after he watched Queen's Gambit. I didn't watch it.
Yes.
And so maybe that's what, I don't know. I'll have to ask him.
I mean, it's too bad that this is the end of this podcast and we're not going to be podcasting together anymore after this because I'm not going to be able to get the update.
I know. I won't ever have an opportunity to tell you.
It's going to be Toodle Pips after today.
Yeah.
Very sad.
You'll never know. Yeah. I know. I'm sad.
What are you going to do?
Nothing, I guess. Cry. Cry about it, probably. I don't know. I guess fire up the chessboard.
Fire it up.
Try and find some romance in my own life.
Let us
keep things up.
Yeah.
And we'll do tequila instead of red wine.
Chess and tequila is a choice.
Oh my God. That actually feels like a night that Phil and I would have, to be honest. So
we got Martin having one last moment with the guys. And that we saw Martin have this type of moment with the families when they came by. And so here was Martin talking with the guys about just how proud he is of these two gentlemen.
As a father, I'd be proud to hand my daughters to either one of you gentlemen.
Okay, so a real earnest moment with the guys. So you think about, you know, Jenny, Martin the Butler is a character.
Yes.
He's a fictional person, okay? does Martin the Butler even have daughters? Like, isn't this a little like insincere? Like he's not a real person. We stand Martin, but he's an actor. Like, does he even have daughters? Like, I would want my daughters to marry one of you.
My fictional daughters.
Yeah, if I...
Well, we were trying to figure this out when the women's families came to visit. Like, what is Martin's story? Okay.
His backstory.
We've heard about the daughters. Apparently, we don't know if they're fictional or not. Is there a fictional Mrs. Martin?
I think he's widowed. It's a sad story.
Sad.
It's sad. It's sad.
I guess that's why he's like, you know, he's like lonely and he's looking for
that's why he has so much time to spend with
the
guys. His daughters have moved out of the house.
He's not ready to move on romantically, but he needs company.
He never will. Mrs. Martin the Butler. The closest he came was when Brianna talked to him in the tent. That was as close as he came. That was it. But
so I don't know. Is his name Martin? Like, we talked about this in the very first episode. I can't remember. I think, like, I don't know. I need to find out about these daughters, whether they're real.
Yeah. All right. And then we got to our big decision time. Did you like that? Like, it was a little bit meta that we got to see the guys watching the crew set up for the final ceremony.
That was so weird. Like, them just, like, hungover, strolling through the backyard, watching the crew set up like all the flowers and stuff like that. It looked like they were setting up a wedding. Like,
it did. Yeah, I don't really
know.
They're
not even getting engaged.
I don't know. I don't really know what was going on. In Amanda's interview with Reality Steve, there was some talk about how like she got to the house at like 8 o'clock and then she didn't even see Kurt until 3 o'clock in the morning. So I don't know necessarily
what
if they ran into like some logistics issues with getting everything set up or what.
That's wild, because that's another thing about The Bachelor is like you can always tell, like apparently like the thing is you can tell if you're getting eliminated by judging what the sky looks like when you arrive, because if the sun is still out, if it's still like daytime, you're getting dumped because they always do the one that's getting picked.
Golden hour.
Sunset.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
magic hour.
But this, and I loved the way that they edited this, where, because at first, so they showed Calla showing up first to the manor. And I was like, oh, okay, like Calla's getting eliminated first. Yes, we expected that. But then they showed Amanda show up and I was like, oh, Amanda's also getting eliminated. Like they're showing the first two girls come. They always eliminate the person first and then they have the like person that they're choosing. But no, then Annie arrives And then Carolyn arrives and they show them all arriving. And I loved this because now I'm like, okay,
wow.
We don't know who's getting eliminated because in The Bachelor, you always know because you see who comes first.
So for this finale, it seems like it earnestly hit for you.
I mean, as someone that I'm not a loyal Bachelor watcher like I used to be, but mm-hmm. I've watched many seasons
yes.
and it's just so formulaic. And so
they broke the formula.
You know, I really enjoyed that they played with the editing and they continue to do this for like the entirety of the decision portion of the episode where they're doing the fast cuts between different conversations, which made it a little bit hard to follow, but it also kind of kept you on your feet about like who was actually going to get picked and who wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dark in all of the shots, so you didn't have the like, you know, oh, this conversation happened earlier or whatever. So I really thought that they did a good job with trying to make some suspense because again, I thought this was like a open shut case. It was going to be Annie. It was going to be Carolyn and it was literally the opposite of that.
Mm-hmm. So we see first Steven with Annie and he says he's a small town boy and he thought he could find everything in that small town. And I thought we were really going to be set up for that. Okay. And you're not from my town. I'm picking you.
Yeah. That was the one thing that, you mm-hmm. know, he couldn't find in his town.
Yeah. And then we go to Kurt and Kurt's decision. And he says that he has passion with Caro, mm-hmm. but that passion has burned him. And he has she has so much to think about. And he tells her that my heart belongs to somebody else.
Which, what? You literally just said that your heart was saying Carolyn and your head was saying Amanda. How are you now saying that your heart belongs to somebody else? Make it make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're literally the wrong organ. You should have said my head is with somebody else.
Mm-hmm. What did you think about when Kurt said this?
I made a woman fall in love with me and I can't reciprocate it.
I mean, yeah, you made her.
I made like, her fall like in love weird. With me. I don't even understand my own powers.
Oh, I'm just so charming and just so, I just couldn't help it. I accidentally made this woman fall in love with me.
Didn't
I don't know how this
it.
Happened. Oh, so confusing.
Why did I
and
make
surprising.
Her fall in love with me?
Tell me why. I am plagued with my beautiful hair and my
sauce.
Physique. The sauce.
Damn you, sauce.
Damn you, sauce. You foiled me once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what that was about. You made her fall in love with. I mean, it was you got the passion, you know, it was there from the start. You didn't do anything.
It's too strong. It's too strong. He can't reciprocate it because she has a husband, ex-husband.
Yeah.
She has an ex.
Sorry.
Yeah.
He tried talking to her about it. Okay.
Yeah.
She didn't say the things that he needed her to say, I guess.
Yep. And she said, can I go now? He released her.
Yes.
And
he was like, please say something. And then she says, can I go now?
Yeah.
I was like,
yeah.
That's a pretty good thing to say.
That's fine.
That sucked.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I kind of felt like that sucked because again, I was looking for a little bit more fireworks. But
right.
she did like I thought
dress
that she was
down.
Like, yeah, like
where do you classy, get off, sir?
It was the classy thing to do, but it was not the fun thing. It was not the you know, television, let's get the show renewed
mm-hmm.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. I think the only person that really had like an ugly exit from the show, I think, was Rachel.
No one here is a normal person.
I mean, did anybody else like really go, you know, go off on the rest of the people?
No.
I mean, guess Rose like, was Sarah Rose. Yeah.
But she like she didn't really go off on anyone. She was just kind of like unceremoniously eliminated because they found out that she was like talking about Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
But I don't think that she was like. I don't think there was like a big drama in terms of her exit.
It was like her drama was like before she left.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was not like anyone else came like leaving the house was like F you and F all of this. Yeah. And like everyone was really nice.
Yeah. It was like Caro like took a page from the Amber playbook last week of like, can you stop filming me now? That's it.
Yeah.
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 And it's like, no.
It's like, no, that's what you signed
that's
up
what
for.
We're here we for. Need to. We watched 10 weeks of this show.
This is the moment we need to film you the most, actually.
Yeah.
Is your greatest pain.
That's right.
Sorry.
That's right.
That's what we've been waiting for.
Yeah. Okay.
Let it rip. And I will say that she did have like one good cutting line in the car where she said, you know what? Like, if he was this insecure the whole time, then like he wasn't right for me anyway. And I will be the girl that got away. Just mm-hmm. like, that's a little bit of a mic drop moment. And I mean, it's like really true because that her having the ex and the ex being in her life seemed to be like the running thing that he was having trouble with. So, mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that it was ever phrased as insecurity, but
mm-hmm. yeah,
I mean, she had a point.
Okay. So then we go to Amanda. And then I'm sorry, we had Steven's decision. Then Steven yeah. tells Annie he has feelings for somebody else,
stronger feelings for somebody else.
And he tells her, like, please, whatever you do, don't stop feeling strongly. Is that what he
yeah.
said?
Despite, yeah, yeah, he said, don't stop opening up and feeling strongly and being who you are because it's amazing. And it's just like,
like, okay, I mean, it wasn't
good enough yeah. for me.
But it's not what I like, but you should still yeah. do it for other people.
There's also just like nothing that somebody wants more in the moment of being dumped is like for that person to like give them words of encouragement and advice. And it's just like, yeah
here's some feedback.
Yeah. Like an exit.
I feel like Steven did that with a lot of people.
Yeah. Yeah. He loved giving his thing. Feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was filling out the, like the comments form.
Yeah.
You know,
like
sending them on their way, being like, you know, service was great. Mm-hmm. Food could have been a little bit hotter, but you know, all in all, great time. And you're, you know, great.
He's a big yelper. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he was pretty nice in most of his reviews, but he wanted to make it known to people on their way out that like how he felt about
for
them.
Sure. For sure. Okay. Yeah. Here comes Amanda. It's no drama left. Here's Amanda. Avocado.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mushy avocado.
Yep.
Yeah. We got the whole explanation of the phases of their avocado romance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And yeah.
Which in hindsight, avocado, great at first.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't age well.
Yeah.
There's pits.
There's definitely pits. Mm-hmm. And you don't know how big the pit is going to be.
You don't know.
The pit is always a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Like you sometimes cut into that avocado and you're like, oh, I was not prepared for this. This mm-hmm. is a lot less. This is a lot less avocado than I was anticipating and a lot of pit. And so yep. that might have been the case here.
Mm-hmm. And so we get to Steven and Calla. Well, what'd you think about this, Steven and Calla? Because this is where we get the promise ring.
Yes. It was so weird, I thought. She was like, you've made me feel very safe and confident. It's like something I've been looking for. And yeah, like I just felt like it was so strange, like what Steven was saying to her, because it just felt like we really missed him having like these very strong feelings for her. All we saw was that he was just very, like, you know,
intrigued,
the mystery, the calico of it all.
Yeah.
It's like, man, this guy really loves mysteries. Like, can we get him a box set of like Nancy Drew or something, a Hardy Boys? Like, like, he loves a good mystery. Take this man to an escape room or something. Like,
that would have been one of the dates. Would have been so great.
That was a missed opportunity.
So Lakeshore Manor would be the perfect site for a murder mystery dinner party. Oh, I'm just saying.
Definitely.
Just putting
that
it out there.
Great. Yeah. For next season, guys. Come on.
Okay. But he pulls out a jewelry box and takes out a ring. Yeah.
There was a weird point where, you know, and I don't know at what point of the conversation this happened, but like they kiss and they're both holding the ring box still. And it was like very awkward because it's like they like leaned in to kiss, but it was like they couldn't figure out who was going to hold the ring box.
Yeah.
So like they're both holding it at the same time. It was like the most awkward looking kiss ever.
Yeah.
So yeah, good.
I mean, the kiss was weird. But and just the idea of the promise ring.
You're richer or poor.
Oh my God.
You accept this ring as a promise to make this work.
A promise ring? What the hell are we doing?
You're 27 years old.
What are we doing here? Like,
are
we in like 12th grade?
I don't know. It was so bizarre to me. But again, I almost kind of like it's stupid, but I liked that they weren't forced to get engaged or break up.
Right.
Because I think that's stupid.
Right.
And I think that that's a lot of the reason why The Bachelor doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But why did you have to have a ring? It seemed so weird because the rings did look like engagement.
They look like engagement rings, right? And it's almost like, okay, it's a reality show. It's like, oh, well, we can't end without a ring. But a promise ring is just so dumb.
Yeah.
The idea of the promise ring. And again, if you have a promise ring and it works for you, that's cool. All right. But at the end of the, like, we watched 10 weeks of this show to see a promise ring.
Promise ring.
And they interestingly cut out the Kurt and Amanda promise ring scene.
Yeah.
We didn't get that. Now, I don't know if it was because they knew it wasn't going to work out, but what the hell did this promise ring even mean if... 4 months later, I promise. Yeah, we accept this ring that you promise we're gonna like. What's the difference? Like, isn't it a normal relationship? Are you not doing that?
But also, isn't an engagement ring a promise ring in a way? It's just like a promise that we're gonna get married. Like, it's. I don't know. I just. Why did there have to be a ring then?
I don't know. It's well, like, what could they have done instead?
I pick you
and I'll give you a smooch and that's it.
Yeah. And then the show, if the couple ends up getting engaged, the show will, send them like money for like towards the wedding.
Yeah.
What they would have spent on the ring. I don't know.
Right.
Reward them with something. What happens with the promise ring? Does Amanda keep it? Does she get to like sell it?
I don't know. That'd be a good question. And Reality I was, Steve, I'm sorry, that was a good question to ask.
Yeah.
That's why Jenny is up there on the Mount Rushmore of Joe Millionaire journalists.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking these questions of, you know, what happens with the Tacori ring. And okay, so I was curious about Tacori because it showed the brand. So I'm like, obviously this was like a sponsorship kind of thing. And I think these are engagement rings like that they used. But like some of these are like several thousand dollars.
Sure.
Like these easily are engagement rings and they're just giving them away as promises.
That's right.
Like,
that's right.
Like I just didn't understand the ring.
Why do you think Kara's so mad?
I couldn't believe that I did not know what was happening until that happened. And even as they were talking about it, I'm like, are they proposing? This is weird. No, they're just saying it's a promise. You're not getting down on one knee. Not that that's necessary. I think it's also, I don't know. I'm always a little weird about that part, but like while this was airing, Aika and Dimitris from Big Brother Canada got engaged on the show. And I was like, are these guys getting engaged? I don't know. I don't know what's happening here. And they weren't. And I didn't know.
Did Dimitris give Aika a promise ring?
Well, it's like a promise to get married.
Well, maybe one earlier.
Yeah. Tori.
Right.
Yeah. Do you think that they had a promise ring earlier on?
Yes. Well,
that's the step.
I'm a big Aika and Demetrius stan, and I'm very happy for them. So I want to offer my, I'm sure that they are faithful Joe Millionaire podcast listeners. So
of course
I want to bestow my big congratulations to Aika and Demetrius.
Yes. That the true love story of March 10th when this aired. I'm sure they were watching Joe Millionaire and not watching themselves get engaged on TV last night.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, so Jenny, I guess
here we are at the end of Joe Millionaire.
Yeah,
yeah.
And can you believe it?
Did you notice when they came, when they all reunited and they all hugged? Amanda and Calla seemed very happy to see each other. Do you think that there were like alliances?
An alliance.
Yeah. Do you think that they had like the blonde girl alliance, and they're like, wouldn't that be great if we end up at the end together?
Yeah, I guess so. It sounded like from Amanda's interview with Reality Steve, she said that it was really that I think Kara was like doing her own thing, but really Amanda was like bonding with the other women.
Right.
Which I guess we got from the show also.
I think that that was very obvious for sure. So I'm sure that, you know, whoever Steven picked was going to be excited that it was Amanda because they were probably closer with her. Mm-hmm. So, but it was a cute little moment at the end where they're all excited for each other and hugging, and the true bromance of Kurt and Steven are reunited.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, Jenny, I guess that's the end of the line here.
I can't believe it. I don't know what I'm going to do now, Rob. Like, it's,
yeah, we had
so much fun.
And when we have Jomentum.
Yes, but we've built this Jomentum, and we're being forced to see Toodlepips.
I guess so.
Until next time, Toodlepips.
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 So
I actually got sad at that moment when he said that.
Yeah. But until next time, does that mean Joe Millionaire 4 is in the works?
He said, yeah, my job is done for now. And I think that, I don't know, why would you, why would you air that?
Yeah.
If you, like, I don't know. I mean, this is at least a formula they could do again, because, you know, even if people have seen this, they're going in and like, okay, there's going to be one guy that's a millionaire and one that isn't.
Mm-hmm.
It's not ruining the point of the show.
Mm-hmm.
So it's possible. We could see it. I hope we do, because I will miss doing this podcast, Rob.
Yep.
It's been a great time.
It was the best time, Jenny. And I'm sad to see it end here after 10 straight weeks coming to you on a Thursday.
I can't believe it.
This is the end of the line, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I have an iTunes review, an Apple Podcast review. This is from this past week. Too Cutesy said, just had to comment on the episode of Joe Millionaire Weird Cookie Incident. Toll House Cookies puts out a box version where one can put the whole box into the oven altogether and cut it apart. That's it. But great podcast.
Yeah, because that was when Kurt was eating the weird, like, it looked like an uncooked cookie.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Thank you for that intel. We don't have that here, I don't think.
Jenny, I'm gonna miss doing a podcast with you every week. I feel like that people really, really seem to enjoy this show. The Joe Millie Gang came out. We had a lot of Jomentum.
We built Jomentum.
Yeah.
I felt like we became like a little
over.
Family.
Yeah.
It's over.
But I guess, you know, what they say, don't be sad that it's over. Be happy that it happened.
Yeah.
And
that's what they say in our country.
Yeah, as they say in my country. That's it.
Yeah. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about this, I guess.
You know, I don't know if you would or if people would be interested in, but I feel like we've been going strong 10 weeks in a row on a Thursday to do Joe Millionaire.
That's a lot of weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is like my routine now.
Yeah. There is another show that's starting.
Yeah.
On CBS. I don't know if you heard it. It's called Beyond the Edge.
Oh, yes. I have heard about this.
It's like a celebrity version of Survivor, but there appears to be no game.
Yeah. It's not clear what the game is.
It seems like it's confusing. It doesn't make sense.
They're being tested.
They're being tested in some way. And there's celebrities. And there's quote unquote celebrities.
Yes.
Meta World Peace is there. Stephanie Tanner.
He's
there.
A requirement. He's a requirement for any sort of celebrity reality show.
Yeah. Do you think people would be interested in us covering Beyond the Edge? And keeping this momentum going?
I was hoping that you were going to cover it because I want to know what you think about it.
Okay.
I mean, I would hope that people would want to listen to you cover it. And yes. I don't know.
Would you be interested in a promise ring to try your best to podcast it with me every Thursday and keep this thing going?
Wow. That's a big question, Rob. It's a very exciting moment for me.
An exciting moment.
Is this an appropriate time to say avocado?
Avocado. I just don't like avocado. Here's the thing. I don't know if people would want that. It would be fun for me.
I just want to talk. I just want to keep doing this.
I know, but I know you're very busy, and
I'm the busy one here, Rob.
That's, I know you like, have a lot. You have a lot on your chessboard right now.
Yes, yes.
So like tequila glass. I guess if enough people went to the Apple Podcast page and said they would be interested in this, I'm sure we could figure out a way to keep this going.
Yeah. And you know what? I mean, it starts next week, right?
It really is perfect timing.
It's like literally as Joe Millionaire, there's no overlap.
No We're overlap. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not doing anything next week.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday. So,
you know, if there is enough excitement among the Beyond the Edge fans, the edgers, so to speak.
The edgers. Yes.
Yes. If the edgers are so excited that we're this close to coming through with a new podcast.
Yeah. Because, I mean, as much as doing this podcast for the last 10 weeks was a labor of love, and it was for me, and it was to, you know, how much I enjoy doing this with you, it was also for the Millie Gang.
Yes.
And, you know, I would want to know that people actually want this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Before just assuming, you know?
Yeah. So what should people say?
Back.
What? Yes. Yes.
Yeah. It's not just, you know, this is a reciprocal kind of relationship we're having
right here.
We,
you know, like that Millie Gang, you made us fall in love with you, but you know, are you choosing
you
us back?
Way.
So let us know. Go to robisawebsite.com/subscribe. Mm-hmm. And click on the Apple Podcast. A lot of people said I would have left a review, but I didn't know how. Well, I'm telling you how. robiswebsite.com/subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to the Rob's Podcast feed. And then hit, write a review. Leave a star rating and a review. Let us know what you think about that idea. Okay?
Yeah. We need that feedback.
Jenny, because the Thursday, in person, Thursday, Survivor's back. Thursday's, it's a busy day for me. But
I know I was thinking that you were probably like, hallelujah, I'm so glad Joe Millionaire is over. Mm-hmm. This is opening up my Survivor schedule. But I will miss talking to you. So
okay, well maybe there's a way to keep it going, keep this momentum going.
Yeah,
Jenny, what's coming up for you?
What is coming up for me? Big Brother Canada, I believe. I will be popping on for some coverage next week, possibly.
Well, that'll be fun.
It's been a fun season so far. It's just building its own momentum. And other than that, just kind of getting into the new Survivor season. I'm very excited. I love it so far. Like, you know, it's only been one episode, but I had a great time the other night watching it. And just like having way too many podcasts to listen to. But why not add to that? Like, why do you want more podcasts to listen to, guys?
Yes. Well, I really did have so much fun with you, Jenny, and so much fun with the listeners who came back week after week, many of whom were not even watching the show.
Yeah,
and so
amazing.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that support. That is such a fun thing for me to hear. And it really does, drive me to keep doing more stupid stuff like this. Mm-hmm. And Jenny, it was such a great ride to podcast with you these last 10 weeks. And let's see what people say if they want us to go beyond the edge.
Yeah.
And as they say in my country.
Until next time, Toodle Pips.
Watch Yellowstone for free on Pluto TV. All this weekend, Pluto TV is streaming a marathon of seasons 1 to 3 of Yellowstone, the show the rap calls a smash hit series. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Mission Impossible 3, Gladiator, CSI, and more. Absolutely free. So download the free Pluto TV streaming app and watch Yellowstone seasons 1 to 3 free.